You're listening to the And I Quote podcast, brought to you by Coterie Insurance. And I Quote is hosted by Ann Boger, VP of Scaling,
and Brian Thomas, Director of Claims Experience. We're bringing you conversations with insurance agents, brokers, leaders, and small business owners. Each episode will dive into the importance of building relationships within the insurance industry.
Relationships are the foundation of building a trustworthy connection. Together, we can learn from other stories and experiences.
So let's jump right into the episode.
And I quote. Thanks for listening to the And I Quote podcast. I'm your host, Ann Boger, VP of Scaling at Coterie Insurance. And today I have the pleasure of speaking with James Riviezo, Executive Vice President of Breeza, the interface to commercial insurance for developers. Today, James will be diving into the specifics of embedded insurance and the experience it provides buyers. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Ann. Thanks so much for having me. I'm so pleased to be here.
So can you tell me a little bit for the listeners, what is embedded insurance? I mean, we talk about it a fair amount within the industry, but can you just sort of break it down for the listener?
Sure. Embedded insurance is very similar to affinity insurance, which has been around for decades, which is really just the idea of the insurance industry finding homogeneous risk groups, people that essentially are part of a larger group. They could be a franchise ownership group. It could be a alumni group that's looking for an insurance solution. And by virtue of coming together and solving a problem for a larger contingent of people, you can craft a solution that is bespoke to them. You can offer some discounts and you can meet them where they are, say, for example, in a alumni services portal, or it could be in any other type of environment where those people conduct their lives or conducting business and deliver a more crafted and bespoke type of insurance solution for their particular needs.
So how does Breeza work with other players in the ecosystem to produce that experience?
Yeah, sure. So Breeza is a technology company, and the technology that we have built is a unified API for small business commercial insurance in the United States. So that means that we are a developer tool that allows software developers to build delightful buying experiences for commercial insurance within their own marketplaces. So we work very closely with carriers and MGAs that manufacture insurance products. And we take APIs and automated underwriting models and we unify them in our process. And on the back end, we allow a software developer that's looking to build an embedded solution in a native platform or a marketplace to easily connect to the products and the services that they need for their constituents.
So when you say unified API, it's really about pulling in all that different types of data that you're getting from those various carrier relationships and then sort of bringing it at once to that partner. Am I understanding that right?
That's correct. So our ethos is that you really can't build a delightful buying experience with one API alone. And there's lots of reasons why we have this this theory, which is that essentially, the needs and the risks that are encompassed within the small business segment are extremely wide, extremely varied, right? What is a small business? A pizza parlor is a small business, a contractor is a small business, so is a consultant. So the risk parameters are extraordinarily wide. Unfortunately, the appetite of most carriers and MGAs isn't as wide as the marketplace. Carriers have bespoke appetite, areas of expertise, and preference as to what they want to underwrite and write risk for. So you have a natural disconnect between the breadth of the market and the appetite of carriers. So that forces the builders of marketplaces to have to go out and integrate with lots of different partners using tools like APIs, which give you access to automated underwriting models. And you take on a lot of work, you take on a lot of maintenance, you take on a lot of partnership risk that we think is a business in and of itself. And so that's a service that we provide to partners that are looking to stand up these types of native platforms, applications, and marketplaces. So that's how we work and serve the ecosystem.
So it sounds like your ideal partner from an embedded perspective is someone who has a team of developers that can interact with that API. Can you tell me a little bit about what that range of partnerships looks like?
Yeah. So first I'll say that we are a developer tool. So we are a means for developers to easily tap into the automated underwriting models of MGAs like Codery, as well as traditional carriers. So think of us as a developer tool. We are not a brokerage. We're not a silent wholesaler. I'm not anything but a technology company that's built a delightful buying experience via a unified API. We tend to work with large national brokers. We work with wholesalers. We work with affinity platforms and others that are looking to stand up marketplaces for the procurement of small business commercial insurance. Generally speaking, those partners will have a in-house development team that are looking for means to essentially gain speed to market and a more easier, delightful wiring together of the ecosystem from the standpoint of pairing up what they want to present to their buyers, to the carrier and MGA universe. In some cases, we've seen partners that have worked with third-party firms, system integrators, and others to help deliver that front-end solution or that connectivity. But there are also a lot of our partners who have their own in-house resources that we partner with and support.
And you must save them a lot of time. I'm just thinking about my own experience in the insurance technology space, right? How much time you can spend integrating with each and every one of those MGAs or carriers. That's a whole lot of work that you're specializing in that then those partners don't have to.
Yeah, that's right. And I think that when we talk about APIs, for example, many have tried to perform integrations with APIs. And I think there's something distinct about the idea of performing what I would call a one-to-one API integration, a direct connection, versus tapping into what we've built, which is a unified API. That unification simply on the surface is, of course, taking a many-to-one, one-to-many type of connectivity. But behind the scenes, what I really think is special about the Breeza API is that we have essentially built inside of the API a canonical set of questions, which represents all the questions that our underwriting partners are presenting through their APIs. And we perform the necessary language translation to allow the developer to essentially ask a single question as opposed to multiple and duplicative and superfluous questions. So a common example of this is, I always use this in conversation to explain what it is that we do. One carrier may ask, how old is your business? When another carrier will pose the question, what year did your business start? That is essentially the same underwriting questions, but two different underwriters might pose it in a different way. Breeza API will perform that necessary translation of that language. We'll perform any type of translation of business logic. And then what that allows us to do is serve a developer a single question, take the answer back, translate it across our canonical set, and then pass on the right information to our underwriting partners like Codery. And you know, that really honors the fidelity of the underwriting model that you've built.
Wow, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. How did you get into this business? Sort of, we jumped right into embedded insurance, but I'm curious just to learn a little bit more about your journey.
Well, you know, I think there's an old saying, right, that you either find insurance or insurance finds you. And I think in my case, I had actually about a 10-year career in financial services, but it was in a different part of financial services than insurance. I started my career in asset management. I worked for firms like Merrill Lynch and UBS, and I was working with high net worth individuals and institutions from an asset management perspective. So I gained a pretty deep insight into the financial markets and the way that products were being built on digital platforms. And of course, we think about trading. Everyone can open up their phone these days and use a online broker or a app-based broker and trade currencies or stocks or fixed income. And I made a change in my career about 15 years ago and pivoted from speculative risk into pure risk and the risk management arts of insurance. And that transition was a little bit awkward in the sense that I thought that the insurance industry would be just as far along as finance and trading with regards to the use of technology. And boy, it was a shocker to see people pushing a lot of paper around their desks and applications being faxed. I don't know if anyone who listens to this will actually know what a fax machine is. But that was the cutting and bleeding edge of technology in the early aughts. So from the very earliest days of my time as a broker, I worked for a company called Marsh here in New York. And I was kind of, what's the right word of saying this? I was inspired to be part of what I knew could be the new reality for placing risk and helping clients. And always thought that at some point in my career arc, I would be part of that change. Although I didn't come from necessarily a technology background or a developer background, I kind of honed my skills and arts with regards to working for a couple of underwriting companies and working in the brokerage community and just kind of better understanding the ecosystem. And did that for a period of about 15 years until 2020, when I was approached by the founders of Breeza, who were looking to stand up a revenue function here, a business development and partnership type of a function. And I think the skills and the relationships that I was able to build and garner over 15 years really have come to fruition. And working with the marketplace on both the distributor side, so the brokers and the wholesalers, as well as the carriers and MGAs.
Wow, that's great. And, you know, I'm always struck by how rapidly the financial sector evolved once we started to have, you know, ways to pay people on your phone. And now every business, you know, can be cash free, you know, cashless if they want to. You know, there's been such a change in how people handle money. And insurance is something that is still kind of in the middle of that evolution, as you say. You know, how do you see the experience of those brokers and agents changing over the next few years as more technology is adopted and as embedded insurance begins to take off at, you know, greater pace?
Yeah, I think that, you know, from my standpoint, we talk a lot, or you hear the common parlance that we would like to build the Uber of insurance, right? We want to make everything as seamless as pulling a phone out of your pocket and hailing a car to your apartment. And I think that is that's a notable nirvana, but getting from here to there, I think, is going to require just a lot of work, a lot of effort. I'm also of the camp that, you know, the insurance industry gets a bad rap saying that we're behind the times with regards to technology and we need more innovation. But the reality is the landscape for commercial insurance in the United States is extremely fractured from a regulatory perspective, and that does hinder change at a rapid pace. Other industries in the financial realm are certainly regulated, but my goodness, you know, 50 plus state and territorial regulators, companies having to file across, you know, 40 different states just to put a rate increase in place. I mean, it's just a very tall order to make change and deliver change within the industry. But, you know, the reality is today you can't ignore the fact that consumers demand a more convenient buying experience and access to insurance type of products. I mean, we see it in so many other realms. You can file your taxes online, but why is it so hard to get property insurance or a general liability insurance for your business? So, you know, we have a long ways to go, and I think it starts and ends with the customer, and we need to start thinking more about what the customer demands, what the customer wants, and then building to that.
Yeah, I love that. I was struck with a thought as you were talking about taxes as a analogy, because I think sometimes when embedded insurance as an idea first came to my awareness, it almost felt like the idea was, well, who needs those brokers and agents? People will just buy it. It'll be so easy, like hailing a cab, you'll just push a button, right? But there's a huge amount of education and analysis that goes into the right kind of insurance for the right person, and building trust and relationships. And I think a lot about how that relates to taxes, right? So if my business is really super simple, I can do that easy form and just pay my $40 online and take my chances. But as my business gets more complex, or I have more different kinds of revenue, I want that accountant to be sitting there with me. But that accountant's job was just made 100 times easier by being able to file online, right? And so I love that analogy. It just came up in the conversation.
Yeah, one of the things that I remember witnessing in, say, for example, the private wealth space, my old life before insurance found me.
Yeah.
You know, there used to be a job called a stockbroker, you know, that was generally a person who picked up the phone and called you with ideas on stocks to buy. And you paid this person for buying and selling on both sides of a transaction, and they took their cut and they moved on. It really wasn't a advice-based type of relationship. It was very transactional. And with greater technology and greater development of tools in the wealth management space, that job has basically been evaporated, right? Like that job doesn't exist anymore. Now you have the rise of things like wealth management. Well, what's the air quotes for? What does wealth management really mean? That means that the wealth advisor is not spending the majority of his or her time actually clicking buttons and buying and selling stocks or bonds inside your portfolio. There are systems for that. There are packaged tools for that. There are platforms for that. What they do is they spend their time looking at you in their in your eye and learning more about your needs, learning more about your risk tolerance, and they're customizing solutions for you. So I think the fantasy and the nirvana for those of us that come from the distribution space of insurance is, boy, wouldn't it be great if 92% or more of my time was spent speaking to clients and asking risk-based questions as opposed to filling out forms, comparing quotes on a spreadsheet and wondering where's my bind order, right? Like that is where we need to move the industry more towards. So embedded, I know some people are a little bit sensitive about embedded because, well, where is the agent? Where is the distribution professional present? But the reality is most embedded solutions are for straightforward transactional type of insurance solutions. But there's certainly evidence of platforms out there. Your partnership with Intuit, for example, I would point to from the standpoint that if you need to ask someone a question, if you're looking for a licensed individual to speak with you, you're only a phone call away and that person can join you in your journey and in your transaction and tell you what button to push or answer your question and move you through to a more delightful buying experience.
One of the things I find, there are so many unknown synergies between sort of the technology company who's really focused on the end user. Sort of what does that end user need? What's that experience for the developer or for the person purchasing insurance? And there's such discipline around technology product development and really good consultative sales people actually have the same orientation, but they use completely different language for it. And one of the things I've just really loved working at Coterie is seeing those two come together, right? Because a really empowered agent who's not spending all of their time filling out forms and you know following up on things that should have come through already, they really get to know those customers and go out and meet new customers with so much more frequency, and that's so empowering. And the intelligence from both of those can really make the whole ecosystem just run better. It's really exciting.
Yeah, and I think you touched upon something, and I think you glossed over it, and I want to reel it back in for a second, which is to say, you know, most independent agents, I know you work very closely with that community.
Yeah.
Most independent agents are small business owners themselves.
Yes.
So, you know, freeing that person to be a greater part of their community, to have more conversations, to go out and garner more business, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing shameful about that. What kind of tools are we providing those small business owners to go out and grow their business and be successful? So, you know, that's a part of the equation that I think is just super important. And there's no shame in selling more of your product or finding more customers.
Yeah, and being more efficient in it too, right? So you're investing the time where it matters. I think having that switch from feeling like the busy work is what sort of makes me feel like, oh, I've done a lot today. I got a lot done today because I pushed a lot of paper around, right? If you can just make that go away, what could you really do with that time? And that's just so like freeing it once you get there. And it's just really fascinating to see how the industry is changing. Is there anything in your time at Breeza that has surprised you about either your partnerships or the carriers in terms of where you thought the industry was going and where it's taken you so far?
Has anything surprised? There's lots of things that have surprised me. And my understanding is that this is supposed to be an informational podcast, not a therapy session. So I'll try to keep it light. But you know, I think one of the things that's interesting is I had a conversation with the head of digital transformation for a Midwest-based insurance carrier, and this is about maybe a year ago, and this person kind of called. We put together a Zoom call and said, we're so behind. James, we need to sit and talk. We have to figure out what we're doing. Oh my God, we have, and this is the quote, we've missed the boat. on digital distribution. We're behind. And, you know, I try to use some colorful language and try to keep things entertaining. But what I said to this person was, look, the architectural drafting plans for the boat are still on the table. The architect is still is but half through drawing out what this is actually going to look like. The boat hasn't been built. The boat hasn't slid down into the water. No one's been on the boat. No one's gone anywhere in the boat yet. Like, it's still being designed. Like, I know you feel like you missed the boat, but people are really still figuring out the best way to build a boat, right? And I think that InsurTechs and Embedded and all different types of digital solutions, you can use whatever parameters you want. You can say, well, you know, this has been 10 years in the making. Well, it's going to be a long run, right? And it's a, you know, use whatever euphemism or comparison you want. It's the first inning of a long ball game or whatever you're comfortable with. But the reality is, I don't think anyone's really missed the boat. I think, in fact, those that were not prime movers benefit from looking at the errors and the mistakes and some of the hubris of others, and you can learn from that and build on that and maybe generate some success off of that. So I think that's been the most surprising thing, right? Which is that essentially, no disrespect to any of my current partners, it's that no one's really figured it out yet. No one has the be-all, end-all solution for how to best distribute products digitally. So some might view that as a negative, like a glass half empty, but I think it's a glass half full scenario in the sense that there's still iteration, there's still experimentation, people are still trying new things out, which just gives all of us, you know, essentially liberty to make a lot of mistakes all the way to, you know, to learning.
Yeah, I love that too. You know, one of the things we've done at Coterie is really tried to collaborate with a lot of our independent agents to hear directly from them. How's the technology, you know, how is our interface working? What are the things you're hearing from your customers? What are the challenges your small business is trying to overcome? Because we're going to be constantly learning and listening, and rather than sort of build a boat and stick it in the water, right? I think that in some ways is the strength of the startup community, right? Is that we can experiment and iterate a little bit more easily than someone who has a really large institution that they're trying to evolve over time. But, you know, for us, it's really been, how can we experiment and get feedback from and engage in an ongoing process of building? And I imagine the same has been true for you.
Yeah, you know, you don't want to be afraid to make mistakes. You want to be liberated to go out and make new mistakes every single day, as opposed to being stuck making the same mistakes over and over and over again. And that's, you know, fail fast type of, you know, typical startup type of ethos, yeah. But it's 100% true.
Yeah. How do you build the sort of culture and team around that kind of mistake, you know, mistakes? Sometimes the best discoveries were actually happy mistakes, right? And so how do you create that environment that lets the team really learn as they go?
Yeah, you know, I my answer to that harkens back to my time in the brokerage community. And I remember someone teaching me that, you know, the product of an insurance carrier is a claim check, right? That's what they manufacture. If you could think of an insurance carrier as a factory with a smokestack, what is the thing that comes out on the other side and gets loaded on a truck? It's a claim check, right? Well, what happens when there's no claims? What is the product in the absence of a claim that a carrier sells or an insurance broker sells? And it's three things. It's people, transparency, and it's trust. And I think that carries forward into our culture as well, in the sense of we have an amazing and dynamic team here at Breeza. We're about 60 people. When I started in 2020, I was employee like 14 or 15. So we've recognized some very dramatic growth in a short period of time. Of course, we're a child born of largely of COVID, although we, you know, started in 2018. We really started to ramp up and started to scale during the period of time of the global pandemic. So we are a distributed workforce. I have teams in Toronto, here in the United States, Brazil, Eastern Europe. We hire the best talent regardless of where they are. And we try, as we've been growing, to remain connected. We try to have open forums of communication, and I don't just mean Slack. I mean trying to build safe places where we can share ideas, safe places where we can offer dissent, which I think, you know, the old saying, there is no innovation without dissent. I like that saying, and I think that's true. Most recently, as things have tamed and gotten a little more calm in the United States and in other jurisdictions, we've brought our teams together physically, in some cases for the very first time in several years, and encouraged teams to work together and share office space together and break bread together, because it's so important for there to be relationships beyond just the glass.
Yeah, no, I very well said. I feel like a big part of my experience in the last couple of years has really been around how to connect and build relationships, even if we're distant, even if we're apart. How are we laughing together? And I know that a lot of our listeners have experienced that same thing, and even experimenting with how do you connect with a small business owner who you maybe would have sat down face-to-face with before, and now, you know, you're doing something similar to this, right? Having a virtual conversation instead. And wow, we've come a long way, haven't we? In being able to do that effectively. Do you have any advice for someone who is maybe entering this part of the industry for the first time, or is looking to evolve their more paper-oriented experience into something that's more digitally enabled?
Do I have any advice? Well, you know, look, I'm a dinosaur, and I came to this 2 years ago. And I think, you know, some of my colleagues from the analog world of insurance scratched their head and said, "You're going to do what? Where?" I'm not sure you are capable of being flexible and learning, James. So I think younger people certainly have a heads up and a leg up, if you will, in being flexible and dynamic in that regard. But you know, the cliches of just staying curious. I think this is just such a unformed space, as we were talking about earlier. No one has really figured out the final paradigm of what is successful digital distribution or embedded insurance. Build great networks, and you know, one of the things I have found fascinating in my time in the industry is just how dynamic it has been. And by dynamic, what I mean is people that I started off with sitting three cubes down at Marsh in New York are now running products, they're running carriers, they're running distributors in Chicago and in San Francisco, and they're working in InsurTech as well, and they're on the claim side of the industry. What I'm trying to say is it's amazing how your network begins very small, but then starts to radiate out and kind of grow, almost, you know, geometric versus linear growth, right? It just sort of like compounds. It's like compound interest. Those relationships, at least for me, were really priceless. And when I came to this side of the industry, I thought, well, I don't really know small business very well. Middle market was really like as low as I would get in the insurance limbo game. But insurance technology, I mean, boy, I'm not a developer. I'm not a technical. I can't code. But I'll tell you what I had, at least at my disposal, were a lot of great contacts and a lot of great friends and people that I've traded with over years, where you build up that trust, you build up that ability to learn from, and those folks have really been impactful and been a large contributor to the success that we've witnessed here.
Well, thank you so much for sharing all of this with us today and taking the time to visit with me on the And I Quote podcast. It was great having you.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you so much. And thank you to Coterie. They're a great partner for Breeza, and we look forward to working together with you more.
Thanks so much, James. Thank you for listening to And I Quote, a podcast focusing on telling the stories of agents, brokers, partners, and small business owners.
We hope you take away something from every episode you listen to and can build onto your strength of connecting with your audience and forming that trusting relationship.
And I Quote is brought to you by Coterie Insurance. Coterie is available across the nation and is creating a product that brings our partners speed, simplicity, and service. Through our new Simply Bind experience on the Coterie dashboard, you can get a quote by answering two questions.
And seriously, we will do the rest for you, because relationships matter. Take a look at our show notes for more information and news.